I'm back again with my fourth episode of the Common Cold Snap. I now have a dedicated email address of thecommoncoldsnap, all one word, at gmail.com. I've also started uploading several deck lists on MTG Goldfish under the Common Cold Snap account. To give you an idea of the deck's power, I've also put a tier rating at the end of it. If it's tier 1, it's what I consider to be a really good deck, all the way down to tier 4, which is absolutely terrible, and I really wouldn't think about playing it. If you see any of the decks and you like them and think you have ideas to improve them, please get in touch. There is an email address. This podcast is going to have several segments. The first one is going to be fun decks to play after the recent meta shakeup following the bans. Then I'm going to have a spice rack section where I'm featured on spicy individual cards and some that synergize together. I've got a small article on creatures which gain value when they come into play and return permanents to your hand. And finally, I've got a set review for Kaldheim, which I think is one of the best sets ever printed for Pauper. Don't forget to like and share my podcast on Spotify. Make sure all your friends know, because the more listeners we can get, the bigger we can become. Thank you for all your help, and thank you even more for listening. But what are the fun decks to play in Pauper? Pauper is a vibrant format and very fresh since the recent ban announcement, which I covered in episode 3. Today, I'm going to summarise a few of the decks that are fun to play and can be picked up quickly. I'm not going to include the really complicated ones, as they might be a deterrent for when you first start playing. So these decks will be pretty powerful and very playable. The deck I'm going to mention is Mono Blue Terror. This deck runs a lot of cantrips to fill your graveyard, so you can accelerate out a big monster by having the casting cost reduced by the number of instants and sorceries in your graveyard. The two key stars are Talarian Terror and Cryptic Serpent, but on some occasions you get the card Delver of Secrets to give you a fast start as well. A mono red burn deck, where it runs an array of burn spells to deal damage to your opponent, but it also synergizes with creatures that trigger when you deal damage to an opponent or cast red spells, and they can be quite fun for tapping, untapping, or just having additional damage triggers. A fun deck indeed. So I have Boggles. You find a 1-drop creature with hexproof, like its namesake, Slippery Boggle or Glade Cover Scout, and you load it up with big enchantments. You end up with a great big battle cruiser of a creature that can win the game on its own. A personal recommendation, I played this deck when it was one of my first couple of decks that I played in the format, so we're talking several years. It's very resistant and has been around for a long time, and I can't see it ever really leaving the format. This deck's a little bit trickier. It's called Madness. The reason being, it uses the Madness ability to cast a lot of its spells. When you discard a card, you can pay out an alternative lower cost to cast your spells. So you use draw spells that discard cards as part of the cost, and then you play your spells for cheaper. It's a really fast deck, really aggressive, and it even runs a card called Sneaky Sacker. You don't actually have the mana to play it, but it has an ability that it can return from the graveyard to the battlefield tapped if you've drawn 3 or more cards in a turn. Really great fun to play. If you like dirtly decks, then Glintblade could be the deck for you. It's named after a couple of the main cards, Glinthawk and Tithing Blade. Tithing Blade is an artifact that when it enters, opponent has to sacrifice a creature. And Glinthawk, when it enters the battlefield, you have to return an artifact. And there you've got a 2-card combo. You play the Tithing Blade, then you play the Glinthawk, put the Tithing Blade back in your hand, replay the Tithing Blade, and you can pretty much control the board. If you like to play a mono blue tempo deck, Fairies could be your answer. It's a tribal deck with lots of fairies that have lots of synergies between them and also runs a few ninjas. So if you get through unblocked, you can play a bigger creature and a ninja that deals damage and generally speaking draws you a card. You have the card Spellstutter Sprite, which will counter a target spell of converted mana cost less than the number of fairies you're in play when the Spellstutter Sprite enters the battlefield. And with the ninjas, you can return those to your hand. It becomes a recursive threat. Convinced by playing monocolor, there is a Dimir version, which is of course blue and black, which is also quite strong and regularly comes in and out of the format. Now, do you like red creature decks? If so, Goblin Aggro could be the deck for you. It's a low to the ground creature deck using really low mannered creatures, normally 1 or 2 mana, and they absolutely fly out of the trap. You also get Goblin Grenade, which when you sacrifice a goblin deals 5 damage to a target, and you've got Goblin Bashwhackers, which when they are kicked comes into the battlefield and all the other goblins get haste and a pump of +1/+0. Oh my god, this is such a fast deck. No wonder they banned Kuldo for Rebuff, because when it was in it, it was absolutely horrendous. like a mid-range Dirdly deck with some powerful creatures, then Grixis Affinity is probably the deck of choice. It has red, black and blue artifact spells at the heart of the deck, and it's the mid-range deck of choice for many people. You have some great creatures with Affinity. Affinity is when you control an artifact, you reduce that from the casting cost of the creatures. You have Frogmite, which is 4 mana, and Merenforcer, which is 7 mana, but they regularly cost less than that, and on many occasions are 0. With great support spells, it's a great deck to play. Next deck is Gruul Ramp. Plays mana dorks and mana enchanting enchantments on lands, and you can basically get really big creatures out every turn, and all these haymakers just pressure really quickly for a fast win. It's really fun to play. There is also a variant that actually plays Ponza spells. Ponza, in case you're not aware, is land destruction, and that can really wreck many a deck. Borosynth is a dirty red-white deck using burn spells and value creatures. It's got a draw engine from the Kawagawa Neon Dynasty Stalwart Experimental Synthesizer, and it's just really fun to play. If you like low to the ground decks, Mono White Aggro could be your choice. It's a very traditional style of deck. You play lots of white creatures, some with value on top of them, like Thraben Inspector, which is a 1/2 that comes with a clue. A clue is when you sacrifice it for 2 mana, you get to draw a card, so you can keep refreshing the cards you can play. And it tends to win with cards like Guardian's Pledge, where you have a lot of creatures out and then pump all your guys for a lethal win. Some cards what I also use includes Rally the Peasants, which does +2/+0, but has the additional ability that it can be flashed back from the graveyard if you have a touch of red mana. Really good fun deck to play. That isn't seen playing much at the minute, but it's still a solid choice, is Corgates. Core comes from the fact that it goes caca because it plays Squadron Hawks, a 1/1 creature that when it enters the battlefield, you can look into your library for any other copies and put them into your hand. These then get quite big when you combine them with the card Basilisk Gate. Basilisk Gate reads, yeah, you can tap it for 2 mana and itself, and the target creature gets +1/+1 for each gate you control. And there are so many gates in the format, it's really massive. And they also run Sacred Cat, which is a 1/1 with lifelink. Now, if you use that and it's pumped, that is like a mini Baneslayer angel on the ground. One of my favourite decks is Jund Wildfire. It's a Dirdly deck. It uses the bridges from Modern Horizons 2, which are indestructible lands. You know, you're then cleansing Wildfire them, so you get another basic land into play. The indestructible land, which should have been destroyed, hangs around, and you get to draw a card. This ramps into you getting some really good creatures. However, it also combines some brilliant hand disruption and removal spells for a very potent package of a deck. Like Sacrifice. This is a recent addition to the format, and one that has an engine of cards like Carrion Feeder or Mortician Beetle that can get really big when they couple with sacrifice effects. We have many card drawing spells that we can use that sacrifice a creature and you get to draw spells to keep the cards flowing and flowing. And the creatures get really big with all the +1/+1 counters on them. Yeah, it's an enjoyable deck and one that is interesting to play. This feature has helped you find a deck that you want to play. You can find actual deck lists, though, on sites like MTG Top 8, MTG Goldfish. They're a great start. And I hope to see you in an event soon. Shift is one of the most favourite features of Pauper for me. When you get a new card from the format and it's previously printed at a higher rarity, it's always fun to see if you can brew with it and break the format again. So one of the first cards I'm going to mention is Battle Screech. 2 white-white. You make 2 flying bird tokens. However, it has a flashback cost to tap 3 white creatures, and you get 2 more 1/1 white bird flying creatures. Now, this is a format staple. The interesting thing, though, is that originally it was only downshifted on Magic Online. So you have paper printings in uncommon, while online it was printed at common. Last episode, I tied my downshifts together for the one that's a staple, one that could be used more, and maybe something that might be downshifted in the future. So I'm going to do it again. This week, my downshifted card that's not played a lot but has potential is going to be Boros Elite. For a white mana, you get a 1/1 creature with the battalion mechanic. When this creature attacks with 2 or more creatures, it gets +2 until end of turn, so we are looking at a 3/3. Recently, a white weenie deck has made it into the challenges and is being splattered on leagues occasionally. This is also a card that I've been trying out and one that I want to make work. What card could we downshift that would have synergy with these two cards? Personally, I think Resolute Reinforcements. One and a white, flash, you get a 1-1 creature and you also get a 1-1 soldier from the ETB trigger. This makes it slightly better than Raise the Alarm, as it is actually a creature spell. So you get all the advantages of ephemerating the creature spell. You'd get another token. There'll be a bonus, but let's say we really do like our flickering effects. This is also very similar to the recently printed Fortress Kingard, which is legal, which is a 1-2 for 2 mana, but it has the Endure mechanic, so you can either have a 1-1 spirit with it or a 1-1 counter on the fortified Kingard. However, this is actually a creature spell. It doesn't have flash, so whilst the overall rate is slightly better, you lose the flexibility. Now I'd like to talk about my card of the week, a classic card that really doesn't see much play, but in its heyday was really great. In fact, it was so good, it had a deck named out to it. Have you heard of Boros Bully? Yes, Bully is actually a card. No, it is not the mascot from a popular game show in the 1980s in the UK. Yeah, everybody likes a bit of Bully, as Jim Bowen used to say in Bullseye. Majoring Bully. One and a red, we get a 2-2 creature with prowess. Prowess, of course, is when you cast a non-creature spell, you get +1/+1 on this creature till the end of turn. The drawback with this card was that it must attack each turn if able. However, if you built your deck right and with the right supporting cards, it'd be bigger than the blockers anyway. So you'd just go in head first. It also works really well with another of my favourite cards, Seeker of the Way. Great for use with Lightning Bolt, Galvanic Blast and other red removal. You'd clear the way and hit your opponent in the face for quite a lot of damage. Could even say it was super smashing great, lad. I feel like I'm on a roll with the Boros cards at the minute. So for my reprint of the week, I've chosen Guardian of the Guild Pact. For 3 and a white, you get a 2-3 creature. But it had the brilliant ability of protection from monocoloured. There are so many monocoloured creatures, monocoloured removal. This is a house to get rid of. Concern is actually the name of the card, Guardian of the Guild Pact. Guild Pact is synonymous with Ravnica and is part of the key things that it's built around. So getting a reprint could be difficult. However, we're bound to go back to Ravnica at some point, so it could make it into one of the Commander decks, even if it would be a bit difficult to get it back into Standard. Valued card of the week is going to be one that I found very useful recently, and is actually quite recent in its printing too. Hailing from Magic Foundations, we have Squadralia. For 3 and a white, we get a 3-3, but it has an activated ability. The activated ability is for 2 and a white, you look at the top 4 cards of your library, you may reveal a creature card with 2 power or less and put it into your hand. The rest go to the bottom of your library in a random order. This isn't going to get you any bombs, but just think about how many staple cards in white are also 2 power or less. Off the top of my head, I can think of several. Glint Hawk, Squadron Hawk, Scorefire Fisher, Seeker of the Way. Yeah, that's just naming 4. Weenie decks will find this card really useful. I've not really seen it played much, but I use it quite a lot in my decks as I found it to be really useful. Late game, it also becomes a mana sink where you can keep doing it. You get some more creature cards into your hand. The card drawing potential is quite high and something that white regularly struggles to do so. However, this also works with Militia Bugler, which is 2 and a white, and it does the same thing, but on ETB you get to look at your top 4 cards and put a creature with 2 power or less, you know, into your hand. This does mean you can double dig potentially. Today I'd like to look at playing Pauper on a budget. Even though the format is really inexpensive, there are some format staples that can be quite expensive or just very difficult to get hold of. Today I'm going to look at bounce creatures. Creatures that when you enter battlefield return permanents to your hand. The first one I'm going to mention is Glinthawk, which is for a white mana. You get a 2-2 flying bird. However, you have to return an artifact. This can be actually really useful because you get to replay a useful artifact. You know, if it's got an ETB, like drawing a card, like, of course, Ica Wellspring. They're really good. Similarly, you've got Core Skyfisher for 1 and a white, which is a 2-3 flyer. It can return a permanent. You can return it until it grains, which is a land when it comes into play. You can put a +1/+1 counter on a creature. So, what other alternatives do we have and how viable are they? So, the first one I'd like to mention is Avery Mechanic. This was played during the Standard era. It was from Kaladesh. It's a 2-2 creature for one and a white. And when it comes into play, you can return a creature back to your hand. It's not bad. It might not be a Glint Hook because of its high mana cost. It's not, of course, Skyfisher because of, even though for the same cost, it doesn't fly and it's only a 2-2 and a 2-3. But at a stretch, it can do a job for you. Recently, I've been trying stockpiling Celebrant. It's for 2 and a white and you get a 3-2. But however, when it enters, you may return a permanent you control to your hand. If you do, you get to scry 2. This is from Wilds of Eldraine. It's also an optional choice because you don't have to do it. Okay, it doesn't fly, but the body's quite good. And if you're in the position where you don't want to send something back to your hand, you don't have to. Next card I want to look at is White Mane Lion. For one and a white, you get a 2-2 cat with flash. And when it enters the battlefield, you must return a creature you control to your owner's hand. This is actually quite bad because you might control something and have to send a creature back to the opponent's hand. Generally speaking, I don't really want to use this card. It might be a cat. It's even a lion. But even I'm not that brave to play with this card. So I like to think I'm a bit knowledgeable on the format, but like everybody, sometimes you just don't recognise a card. And this is the case with Indoctrination Attendant. It's 3 and a white, you get a 3-4 creature. It has Toxic 1, so it will poison an opponent when it deals damage. However, when it comes into play, you may return another permanent. The good thing about this is, if you do, you get a 1-1 Colorless Merc token, which is also has Toxic, but it can't block. This does give you an alternate win condition. This alternate win condition is actually more reliable than you'd think. If you can keep bouncing your Indoctrination Attendant, you can create an army of Murs. You only need to deal 10 damage with poison, or with Toxic counters in this case, and you can always use other abilities to pump it up. I really like this card. I've used it on several occasions, and I've had opponents beginning to panic that, yep, the poison damage could just kill them. There's a lot of fog decks out there. Yeah, and if they're losing life from a different avenue rather than their actual life total, yeah, they can be sat on 60 life and still die to 10 poison. Finally, although it's not a white mechanic, there is another way to put your creatures back into your hand. Don't forget about ninjutsu. Yeah, when you have an unblocked attacking creature, creatures with the ninjutsu mechanic on them can be snuck onto the battlefield straight away. Fairies uses this a lot. They can return their spellstutter sprites, fairy seers, and get value out of their cards time after time. Recursion is really powerful in Pauper, and it's something that you really should consider. Today I'd like to talk about the set Kaldheim. Released in February 2021, this is one of the most impactful sets ever in Pauper. The main reason? Snow Duels. We had dual lands, although they came untapped, they had the land types on them. This is important as we now have searchable lands in Pauper. However, it wasn't just the lands that made an impact in the format. There were also lots of new creatures. The first one I'd like to mention was Brinebarrow Intruder. For a blue mana, you get a flash creature which has 1-2 stats, and when it enters the battlefield, it gives -2 power to an opponent's creature. This is really good in turning battles. It flashes in and creates favourable trades. Fairies use this a lot. We also have Jaspera Sentinel. A reach creature, 1-2 for a green mana. You can tap an untapped creature and then you can tap it for a mana of any colour. Elves uses this quite a lot as it is an elf, but other decks will use it. The next card I'd like to mention is Masked Vandal. For one and a green, we get a 1-3 changeling. So yes, it's every creature type. However, its ETB is that if you exile a creature from your graveyard, if you do, you can exile target, artifact or enchantment on the battlefield. A really useful sideboard card. For a while, Sarul's Packmates saw a lot of play. It was a 3-3 creature for 3 and a green, and when it enters the battlefield, you draw a card. But it also used the foretell mechanic from the set, where you could foretell it for 2 mana, put it into exile, and on another turn, you could cast it for 1 and a green. Really good use of mana, and a really popular card in its time. Moving away from the creatures onto spells, the first spell I'm going to mention is Behold the Multiverse. For 3 and a blue, you could scry 2 and draw 2 cards. That's pretty good in its own. But you also get great card drawing because you can foretell it. Same as before, two colourless mana, but in this time one and a blue, you can get to draw the cards and scry at this point. Really excited about this set when it came out. Yes, we had lockdowns and there's a lot of depression about, but a really exciting set with the Norse mythology, which I really enjoy. A very welcome surprise as well with this set. With Bind the Monster for a blue, enchant a creature. You tap the creature down when it ETBs, and it deals the damage to the creature's toughness to you. However, the creature doesn't untap. Blue removal is rare. Good blue removal is even rarer still. So, who's heard of this card? Snakeskin Veil. For a green mana, you get a +1/+1 counter on target creature, and it gains hexproof for the rest of the turn. Believe it or not, this was the first printing, and we'd have 7 more reprints already. This is one of the format staples in protection spells. We also had a couple of reprints that made a welcome return to the game. We had Village Rites, sacrifice a creature and you draw 2 cards. It's been reprinted a lot more times since then, but it's still a very good card. And we also got a reprint of a Null, counter target artifact or enchantment spell. Yeah, for a blue mana, it's really useful on one of the most popular sideboard cards, especially with all the affinity-based decks that are running around these days. Time as a set was a banger with just the dual lands alone, but with all the other cards to support it, it's a booster pack that is actually quite nice to open, and the excitement of getting a staple pauper card, especially one in foil, was really quite high for me. Also, I always liked the snow mechanic, and to get a few more cards, especially the duels, it allowed me to rebuild my Jeskai Ephemerate deck. Whilst Arkham's Astrolabe remains banned, it still is a fun new take on the deck. I really enjoyed doing this podcast, and I hope to be putting another one together in a fortnight's time. Now, just before I go though, the Exian Now Commoners Cup on Saturday the 17th of May, and the Pauper for Loot on Sunday the 18th of May, and Adverston in Birmingham. This is going to be a great event. I advise everybody you can to attend, even if you just turn up for the Command Fest and chill out in the venue. Feel free to say hi. Please feel free to reach out to me on any of the many platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and of course my email. Thank you.